Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. You know the night.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you on this Martin Luther King Day, a basic holiday for the markets. But of course, the futures markets are open, and of course, they're flying, as is the usual. They're up. The Dow at the moment, you know, is up over 100, and you know, look, again, we're not going to try to, you know, predict that the when the end is coming near, but we had some great football games, you know, at the end. The New Orleans-Minnesota game was a wild finish, and I'd like to have been betting on that game, laying the 5.5, and they don't kick the extra point. They just take a knee instead of kicking it because the game it was the last play of the game. Can you imagine? And, of course, Pittsburgh got their butts whipped, much to my surprise. But at the end of the day, we've got the new setup, the new matchups for next week. And, you know, interesting lines already. And the markets continue. Yeah, it's just a way that we go here. You know, you can't say it's not good. It's not right. It is what it is. And I warn you all the time, telling you that you don't want to, you know, try to project or predict what's next. Because for now, the markets want to go up. That's the simple bottom line. I mean, the dollar right now is under pressure. The oil is, basically flat. Gold is, again, rallying. So, you know, are we going to say that they can't go higher? Is there a reason to believe that they won't go higher? And I go, you can't. Your ideas, your markets should be looked at as what is the chart telling you? You know, I remember back in the day we had the mood rings and the biorhythms and all that crap. Well, the markets are the same thing. I mean, we should be looking at the you know, the mood and the biorhythms of the market. Now, again, obviously, that's a little oversimplified, but the markets right now show you that they really don't have any desire to go lower, and not that they won't go lower tomorrow or the next day or the next day or who knows when, but they will give you a more than ample opportunity to participate. But if we continue to try to pick it and say that this is the top or that's the top. Now, you know, we've made a couple of stabs at what we thought were good topping action, and we were able to make positions and take plays. And then if we were wrong, we got out and moved on. And I think this is one of the things that we miss is the ability to say, okay, I'm wrong. I'm going to move on, you know. And I think that is something that, you know, is more important to anything is the ability to say to yourself, okay, I'm wrong. I need to reconnoiter and refigure, you know, what I'm going to do next. You know, it's like if President Clinton, when he was in office and he got caught, you know, with the Monica Lewinsky scandal, nobody would have cared if he'd have said, I'm wrong. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did it, even though you wouldn't have to be sorry. You just have to say it. And for yourself, you just have to say to yourself, hey, I made a trade. It's the wrong trade. Let me move on and not let this one trade destroy me. And I think you'll be a much happier camper over time if you do that. If you continue to think that you're going to be smarter than the market, if you can even think you're going to outsmart markets in general, then you're really just making a huge mistake. because you're never going to outsmart the markets in general, because the money is too big for you to be able to do so. And, you know, we can, I can give you the story of the financial revolution, which I think that we're seeing. I can give you a story of the backwardation and contango in oil and why it should be going lower. But until they actually do start to move in that direction, I think you have to sit back and say, okay, I don't see it working that way yet, so let me sit back and relax and let the market show me, let the chart share with me the ideas that the money flow, because at the end of the day, it comes back down to the money flow. It comes back down to money. As I've said many times before, life comes down to two things. One of them is money. And that's why we have to sit there and wait and let the money work its way to tell us what should be next. Not, we don't tell the markets what should be next. And, you know, there's reasons for whatever. And is there a reason for me to be too overly excited? Well, first of all, it's a holiday, so there's no reason to be excited today anyways. But we have seen this. We are in a major melting up situation right now. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that basically they're just going to go up until they don't go up. And, you know, I know that's pretty ambiguous, but they're going to go up until one day they're going to decide that they're not going to go up. And we don't see too much two-way trading action. We don't see too much stuff going on. So is there a reason to believe that we should, that the market should fail here? I mean, yeah, listen, I know everybody's going to give me 1,000 reasons why it should fail. But at the end, it's not failing. There's no reason to believe that it's going to fail tomorrow or today. And, you know, again, you will have opportunities to grab on and clean up when it does happen. But isn't it easier to have capital to trade versus being lost at all trying to guess? Okay. And, you know, this is something that I think plagues the average trader for history and beyond, is the wanting to try and guess the next move and trying to be there first. As I've said many times, we don't get rewarded for being first. So I think it's for you to remember and for you to understand that you need to let the markets trade and try to follow the footprint of the market and not try to create the footprint ahead of it. It's much easier to follow once you can get a clear pattern, because as we've said many, many times, all patterns repeat themselves. All charts are the same. And when you can finally understand that, then you just, the last demon we all have to deal with is the patience to wait for it and to wait for that opportunity. Because when we don't do that, we end up losing some of our dough. Anyways, this is Martin Luther King Day and a holiday for some. Of course, it is a holiday for the markets. So we could only base ourselves on the futures, which were higher today. But we're going to get ready to step out here for a break and want to remind you on this Martin Luther King Day about our high school investing program, and that we're looking for some help if you'd like to be part of it. You can go to patreon.com/Bubba Trading. That's Patreon, patreon.com/Bubba Trading. And don't forget to download The Bubba Show every day at libertytalk.fm. You can also get The Sporting Edge there. And we are going to step out here for a break. We'll be back with more on this Monday, January the 15th, Martin Luther King holiday.
All right, boys, follow me. Mostly.
Well, Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for the one, the only, and the unbelievably talented Jane King from Lila Max Media and the author of the Ka-Ching Report, one of the best reports you'll ever read. Jane King, what's up?
Hey, Todd. Good morning to you. So happy happy another week down of 2018.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, it's a we're up almost every day. Like, markets are never, ever going down again. We're melting up. You know, I'm melting from the Wizard of Oz, but I'm melting upwards instead of downwards. And, you know, a lot of things are going on. And of course, pretty interesting, all of these new bonuses that these companies now are passing out because of the tax cuts. What are your thoughts of all that stuff?
Yeah, well, I think it's great. I mean, I think I was watching somebody for a Democrat strategist or somebody the other day trying to talk down the tax bill. And I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, they don't have any credibility on this because we go back before it was passed and Nancy Pelosi was saying it was Armageddon and companies are not going to share the wealth. They're all just going to buy back stock. And that's not what's happened at all. And it's not reality. And so, I mean, the best they have is like, well, the bonuses are small, but it's like, look, I mean, they're more than what they had a year ago. And if we can get this economy going, there's could be more money expected. So I think it's great. I think it's great that, and I just hope that this leads to more hiring and more spreading of the wealth, because we had a problem there. You and I talked about it, like that, you know, a lot of middle class was having trouble. So I'm hoping that this is the beginning of change there.
Now, I think that Nancy Pelosi is making an ass out of herself. I think she's making a fool out of herself, to be honest with you. I mean, talking about this as if they were the crumbs are her words, Armageddon, the end of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've come from, and listen, I take nothing away from President Obama. I mean, I didn't particularly care for myself, but I don't take anything away from him. I think you could have put anybody in the chair and then the markets would have rallied. And I think, unfortunately, at some point, although President Trump talks up to the markets all the time, at some point there's going to be some kind of sell-off and he'll have to own that as well. But at the end of the day, we are on the right path all the way through here. And I mean, to me, she just looks like an idiot. And here she is, you know, she's worth a couple of $100 million and talking like, you know, money is garbage. I don't understand it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, it's painfully obvious when somebody's time is up. And, you know, we've seen it before in politics, we've seen it in entertainment, you know, news, whatever, and her time is up. I mean, you know, she's done a lot. The people of San Francisco have, you know, continued to vote her back in. They're happy with her, it seems. But there needs to be some new ideas and new blood in there. So, and I think that this is becoming more apparent by the day. And by the way, speaking about, you know, it's interesting, like I hear some people say, oh, the rally really started under Obama. It's like we saw a stock rally, but it was for different reasons. Like, it was because of quantitative easing and stimulus. It wasn't because we really had that kind of entrepreneurial spirit and cash flow and money coming back and companies not feeling overburdened and worried about every little thing they do. This is a brand new rally to me. I mean, it's been going on since 2009, the stock market rally, but this is for an entirely different reason. So anyway, I think we have more to go with this Trump rally.
I mean, we could. I mean, again, I expect to see some selling at some point here. But again, that's just natural market action. I do think that, you know, things are better. I mean, you're starting to see some growth. I mean, you know, you are starting to see some of these tax cuts. And I do also like, I thought this was pretty interesting. I want to get your thoughts on this. Some of the utility companies are actually cutting the bills of their customers as well. What do you think of that?
Well, there was a merger with the South Carolina utility. They're actually giving bonuses to customers, like $1,000, because this merger went through, and the rates are going to be cut as well. So, I mean, it's amazing, and it's just, I think, becoming apparent that most Democrats don't know anything about economics. Like, I mean, it just, you know, I don't like throwing insults around, but they just had no idea how to handle this thing. I mean, they thought raising the minimum wage was going to help economics, and they don't understand that entrepreneurial spirit that people have, that they want to go out and make their own way and have pride in what they work and what they're doing and make money on their own and be given an environment where they can achieve. And they just totally missed the boat on this one. So, I mean, I'm happy that President Trump has a strong enough will to push it through.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's busting his hump trying to get things done. And again, he's a businessman. He's not a politician, which I think is more refreshing when you look at it. I mean, it's nice to have somebody in there who's actually trying to really get things done. And is he everything doing perfect? Of course not. But I do think that, you know, you're starting to see some action, and hopefully we'll get some movement. And, you know, when you move forward, I think it's great in the general perspective. Now, do you see anything that bothers you in this market or in this economy or with what's going on?
Well, I do know that a lot of people feel like things are moving pretty fast. And they're like, oh, my God, what's Bitcoin? What? It's up 2,000%? What is it? I don't even get it. So I think, you know, the world is really moving quickly. I think technology is doing that. And I feel like a lot of people are kind of a little scared by that. I don't know what you do about that exactly, besides, you know, people kind of have to learn on their own what's going on. But, you know, I was just talking to my brother last night about Bitcoin, and he was like, oh, I think it might be going to zero. I was like, I don't know. I think there's a lot of just kind of uneasiness about the rapid pace of change and what's going on in technology, and kind of hope that settles down a little bit because, you know, I hate to see people miss out on things.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, listen, my personal opinion is the cryptocurrencies in general are a revolution against the Federal Reserve and the central banks and governments around the world. That's my opinion, because this is the only way that they can actually fight back to the beating down of the dollar and things like that. And of course, already, you know, we had one bad jobs report. I don't know if it wasn't bad, but you had a jobs report and then one down day in the markets. And all of a sudden, the Fed's talking about, well, maybe we're only going to raise twice this year. I mean, what are your thoughts to that? That's kind of ridiculous in my mind.
It wasn't even really a down day. I mean, we lost, what, 12 points and another day 16? I mean, that's nothing. So, yeah, the Fed just probably kind of needs to sit and observe what's going on a little bit. But yeah, I heard somebody say the blockchain technology is the biggest thing to happen in history. I was like, oh, my God. Like, how would you? I go, bigger than the printing press. Like, I was hearing about this secondhand from somebody who'd seen his speech. Bigger than a printing press. Bigger than the Internet. I mean, it is fascinating technology, but wow, that's quite a statement.
I mean, it's amazing. And of course, this is one of the things that you and I both strive to work on. And that is the education of the youth so that they don't have the same problems. What's going on with your educational program? What are the podcasts? What's scheduled and what's going on?
Well, you know, I got to kind of get back on the groove there. I had a really tough start to the year because I had to get a new computer and then all the headaches associated with that, transferring everything. And that took like 2 weeks. Then I had jury duty and then we had a blizzard. So I've been kind of, now we're going to, you know, we're going to be traveling to Florida. So once I get back from there, I've got lots of ideas in the can and kind of start ramping that back up again late January.
Yeah. I mean, it's really important. You know, again, we have so many people that are so uneducated when it comes to just general finances. Forget about understanding, you know, being an economist, because obviously I don't have a lot of respect for economists myself. But at the end, just understanding your own portfolio, your own business, and putting that together so that you can see and prepare. Because obviously you've been in the business for a long time. You can actually kind of prepare yourself for some of the things that are going to happen. Because, you know, it's every day is not going to be like they've been for the last, you know, 10 days for sure, where we just go up every day. There's going to be some turbulence at some point, and you're going to have to make a decision on how to do something, correct?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You got to have to prepare and diversify. I think it's the only thing you can do. I mean, it's the only way you can protect yourself. So the way this world moves now, I mean, you really have to be prepared for anything. I mean, unless you're just going to stay up constantly and monitor every single fee that comes in, which nobody does hardly, except maybe some traders. But you just kind of, you have to diversify. I think you have to have a little bit of gold or cyber currencies or something like that, plus stocks, plus global stocks, plus some bonds.
And that was our friend Jane King from Lila Max Media and author of The Ka-Ching Report. And I kind of cut her off prematurely, but anyways, Jane King, Lila Max Media, The Ka-Ching Report, and a regular contributor to right here, us at The Bubba Show. And we love what Jane does and how she brings it to the light. And of course, she's also a big fan of education and is doing a number of things trying to create that new balance for our schools throughout the country. And of course, if you go to patreon.com, you can help us along, and that's help educate America's youth is what we're trying to do. And that's at Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And, of course, don't forget to get Bubba's daily updates, which you can get every single day by just going to BubbaTrading.com, filling out the little blank, the little box that pops up when you go there. And every day, right after the close, you'll get an email from me with a little video saying, hey, here's what I think, here's what I saw, and let's go. Anyway, this is The Bubba Show on Martin Luther King Day, Monday, January the 15th. We'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show.
Margie said, Roy.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Chalady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics and the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show expert on technical analysis, and also the Bubba Show expert on the cryptocurrencies. And Matt, what's up, man?
Hey, Todd, I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, we're hanging in here and watching a lot of these markets go bananas. And, of course, you know, you and I kind of look at the cryptocurrency space, you know, every week. And, you know, pretty quiet week last week from the headline currencies, right? I mean, the Bitcoin would still be considered the headline currency, and it was fairly quiet. You know, I don't think it did a heck of a lot. What'd you make of last week's action in the crypto space world?
Well, with Bitcoin, you know, it's kind of just more of what I've been saying. I don't think Bitcoin really has that much left in it to the upside. I think we're, you know, best case scenario is it chops and or we go up to slightly higher highs. That's really the very best case scenario. I'm seeing it, you know, we know the top was right around 20,000. We're at 13,500 and monthly RSI is still in the 96s. So, or excuse me, it's in the 94s, but that's just still way overbought. So in order for this to come down out of the, you know, this nosebleed area, I see it coming down a lot further. So it's actually good news that it's still in over 10,000.
Good. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Long term, I've turned bearish on Bitcoin just because it's fundamentally not kept up with everybody else. These other teams that are dedicated to getting, you know, their coin out there and improving its technology, you know, they're doing that. Meanwhile, you have a lot of sort of discord between the different groups working on Bitcoin. So I think probably the torch is being passed, so to speak, from Bitcoin to some of these others. You know, I like Ethereum. They've done very well. They crossed above 1,400 this past week. So, I mean, they still, you know, last time we were talking about it, they were just crossing 1,100. They crossed above 1,400 this past week. So they're still doing very well. Although I do think Ethereum is running into resistance up here. And, you know, if anybody was looking for a place to buy, if we're lucky, it's going to fall back down to the mid 900s, which is a former resistance area, and that's where I'd be buying back in. I'd be buying more.
Yeah. Now, you know, we look at different ones, and somebody had called me. It's a funny story. Someone called me last Wednesday and said, "Hey, I got this new one. You should look into. It's called Smart Cash." I go, "Yeah, okay, whatever." And it was like 40 cents, right? So he texted me over the weekend. He says, "Did you buy any?" I said, "No. I wouldn't know where to buy it at." He says, "It's now 380. I go,
"Yeah,
you know, or maybe we should buy some doggy coin."
Right, right, right. Yeah.
The joke.
Which I like calling it doggy coin too. I mean, you know, it should be called that, but I think the inventors actually call it Dogecoin, and they put their, you know, the logo of their dog on the front of the coin. But yeah, I think we talked about that. They have a market cap of $2 billion last time I checked, and it's my understanding is it's just a fork of Bitcoin, and it was a total joke. You know, they started it up, I think, 5 years ago, and it as a literal joke. And that joke is now worth $2 billion. So it's kind of crazy times. There's the smart cash story. I mean, a lot of these smaller coins have been, you know, they've been jumping, and that's the benefit. You have to look into we have to do the research on the fundamental side and see what is special about each of these coins before we, you know, get too excited about any of them.
So when you look at these coins, you know, again, I mean, obviously, I think there's something now like, what, 1,400 or 2,000 different coins now?
Yeah.
I mean, how do they have value? What makes them, other than obviously trading or whatever, how is this going to separate out? Do you have any clues?
Well, I see it as either a currency coin or it's a utility coin. And, you know, there's far more utility coins now than there are currency coins. So if you're just looking at the currency coins, you say, well, what makes this a better currency coin? Does it have better privacy? Does it transact faster? Can you do more transactions per second? I mean, we still have a major problem with that. The blockchains that require miners have the slowest speeds. The more redundancy you have to have in it, so the more nodes that you have to have, and you have more miners and the more decentralized, tends to make these over time the transaction speed falls and transaction costs go up. So that's one thing to look for. You know, there's been a lot of excitement about Ripple, which we talked about last week.
Right.
Ripple is more of a utility coin in the sense that they never intended it to be a currency coin. It was just to be an intermediary currency between if you're doing a wire transfer from United States to Europe or Europe to U.S. or wherever to wherever, you know, foreign wires, it was to be the intermediary currency that you would go into, and then you'd sell out of it when you got to the other side. So, you know, if you went dollars to Ripple, then Ripple to euros, you're out. So the value of Ripple going up is kind of a head scratcher for me, because from a fundamental level, I mean, I've pulled up the chart and I wasn't even charting it because of that fact, but it makes sense now why it went up just from a chart perspective. But so just getting back to your question, a lot of these are utility coins. They have a specific purpose that are non-currency related, just to decentralize. You know, you have some that are you have one called Steemit that's out there, and that's to have decentralized, like a decentralized Facebook, social media type stuff. And you just have to take a look at these more like companies than like stocks, even than as currencies.
I mean, but what I don't understand is, why would I need Ripple? I mean, I could convert my dollars to euros without going through Ripple. Why would I want to do that?
Well, it's basically a replacement to the SWIFT system. So, like, the SWIFT system was, like, my understanding is it was built in the late 50s, early 60s. And in the past few years, it's basically a messaging system. And it says, you know, we're sending a wire to you guys, you know, a foreign wire. So, but apparently some of these wires have gotten lost. And, you know, just one, you know, minor mistake in the message, and it gets lost. We're talking about millions of dollars, and that's a big deal. So Ripple is just a superior messaging system that uses XRP, the actual currency of Ripple, to just send the transaction, and then they can convert on the other side.
Got it.
I mean, yeah, you can use the Forex markets that we can trade at any point to do it, but when you're actually doing a wire, it's when it comes into play.
Now, when you look at these crypto, there's Coinbase, there's a million exchanges out there now, right? I mean, are they reputable? Are they good? What's your look at all that?
Yeah, I think they're getting better. That's for sure. I mean, I think the exchanges that accept fiat are more heavily regulated, and they've spent more money on security. So you're talking about Coinbase, Gemini, Kraken, and those tend to be, you know, really, really high security. I mean, relative to the space. I mean, there's always a chance they'll get hacked. But Coinbase, for example, they if you hold, you know, Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever, or Litecoin or Bitcoin Cash, those are the four they have. If you hold crypto on Coinbase, they state that they hold 98% of your crypto offline until it's needed. So it's basically in a cold storage server until you're going to trade it. So that means if they did get hacked, you'd only lose 2% of potentially you'd lose 2% of what you held on Coinbase. So that's a pretty safe exchange. And they have insurance for the other 2%, I believe. So, and they're FDIC insured for the cash part. Really? So that's all pretty good. But there's some of the other ones, I use Binance, for example, and Binance is based in Asia. I'm a little bit worried about, you know, I don't want to hold a lot of nothing against Binance. It's hard to know what their security measures are, though, because they don't really get into detail. So buying coins there, for example, I will definitely store them offline. I'm not going to keep it on their exchange.
Okay, because, you know, it's interesting. I mean, it's just some of the security measures, and it's funny because certain exchanges you can't take in dollars. You have to transfer over and, you know, like go to Coinbase and buy Bitcoin. Then it's a little bit confusing, but again, obviously, it looks like it's starting to be much more accepted. And of course, I think the more the governments try to get involved, the more accepted they become, because again, this is one of the purpose of these is to keep the central banks and the government out. So I think it has some real room and some real space. And now it's the question of identifying. So you did pick the top of Bitcoin. You did that when it was over 20,000. So that was good. And you picked a good price in Ethereum. So that was good. And this is Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, our technical expert and our cryptocurrency expert as well. We're going to step out here for a break and come back with more from Matt. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure that you go to libertytalk.fm. You can download the show every single day and get more words of wisdom from our buddy Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're coming right back with more from Matt Demeter after the break. The Bubba Show. Be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, the expert, the technical expert for The Bubba Show, as well as the cryptocurrency expert for The Bubba Show. So, Matt, markets are just, I don't even know what to say anymore. It's like nauseating, and not that they go up. I don't really care. But there's very little trade, so to speak, unless you just buy. And again, last week, I think we were up, I don't know, 2% or something like that in the markets. And just Thursday and Friday were like just barnstorming higher. And there doesn't seem to be any thought of ever having a pullback. Now, I know you've called for 8,000 in the NASDAQ, and certainly it looks like we're going to get there. But it seems to me that something is run amok here, just in general. I mean, we just keep going up without even a thought of selling. What's the take of the markets here?
Yeah, well, the sentiment is extremely bullish right now. I mean, yes, I do think we should have a pullback, whether we'll get one or not. Maybe we can keep at these elevated, you know, sentiment levels, and who knows, maybe it just keeps running. But, you know, you look at RSIs, daily RSIs for all the indices are right around 80. That's really overbought. I mean, we should be seeing pullbacks soon. I we've said this for a while, like, you know, the pullbacks would be logical. Sometimes at the end of bull markets, you know, like we had in March 2000, you just go up, 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 and it doesn't stop until it hits that, you know, that final peak. I don't know if that's what's going on here. If it does, then we're talking about, you know, super overbought levels in the indicators. But where we are now are logical places for the indicators to turn back down. They're just so overbought. But I would be a buyer on a dip yet, because we haven't hit my targets to the upside. So,
right. Yeah. No,
I don't know.
I know. I'm with you. I get it. You know, I mean, I got to say, you know, you stuck on that, you know, 122 ish in the euro currency, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere came the explosion. So now what? What's your take on the euro currency right now?
Well, there's a target at 123, almost exact, 1.230 basically. It's very slowly rising. That's been my objective basically the entire time we've been talking about euro. It's just taken so long to get there. I was willing to go with lower targets. But this 123 target is used to be in the 122s. Now it's right at 123 because, like I said, slowly rising. I think that's probably where we're going to go, and then we'll see a top there, and then we'll get a pretty good pullback. You know, the commercials, we always talk about them. They are loading up on the short side. They're now at an all-time record short position going back to the first days of the euro. And this past week, they increased their position by, I think it was 20, 25%. They were already almost at a new record, and they really, you know, stepped on the gas as far as the shorts. So the more upside we get in the euro, the more that position will just get a lot bigger. And then I think it's 123 we're looking for.
And you finally, you know, you called for a new low in the dollar, and I didn't think it would get there. And of course, here it is, a new low. And it just got pulverized late last week. I mean, like, you know, again, they were giving dollars away for free. Are you looking to be a step into the dollar here now?
Yeah. You know, so if we get to 123 in the euro, you know, since they're highly inversely correlated, I would be a buyer of the dollar at 123 in the euro. So where I'm not, the euro pattern is a bit more clear than the dollar pattern is. So rather than give a price in dollars, I would just give a price in the euro. So when we get to 123, I'm already short a little bit euro. I'm going to short more if we get to 123, and I'll go long dollar.
Now gold has rallied for 5 weeks in a row. It hit its low at, I think, 1238, and it's now rallied, and it looks like it kind of broke out. But last week's rally was on the biggest volume and the heaviest, and it just looks like it's going to Pluto, like the markets. I mean, it's kind of interesting how almost all these markets are going together. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's partly the dollar, right? The weakness in the dollar finally, you know, was enough to push gold through resistance. There was resistance around 1320 and rising, and it popped through there on Friday. So now the next resistance level I have is coming in just below 1350. It's a declining resistance. So we'll see how I think that's a reasonable place to get short. If 1350 is taken out, then I see the next one I see is not till 1420. So I think we could run all the way up to 1420. If 1350 is taken out, and from there you get another severe sell off. And I really do, I hate being in this spot where I'm a gold bull, I'm a silver bull in particular. I want to see a bull market begin in these metals. The problem is that the commercials, these are very heavily manipulated commodities. Silver in particular, gold to a lesser degree, but still manipulated. The commercials are layering on shorts as these metals go higher. So it just tells you that they are not giving up. They're not giving up on the manipulation, at least not yet. So there's that headwind is still there. So whether we get to 1350 or 1420, I expect to sell off from one of those two levels. If we get to 1420, I will definitely be shorting gold, even though, you know, long term, I'm a gold bull.
Now, gold and silver, I mean, gold looks like it's been much stronger than silver, and it looks like it's broken out even further, although I guess percentage-wise it's pretty close, but the chart looks much more straight up in gold than it does in silver. What's your thoughts there?
Yeah, it has been doing better, just on a percentage basis. But it's also reflected in the commercial positioning, the COT reports. Commercials are now back to, a moderately bearish position, and given a little bit more strength, they'll get to recent extremes. Silver's more neutral. Silver still, I think, has room to run as far as both the price pattern and the commercial positioning is basically neutral. So I think we have, you know, some more upside. First resistance I have in silver is about 1760 and rising. So if it gets through there, we could get up into the 18s without much difficulty. But I'm looking at 1760, 1765 as first resistance for silver.
Now, the Treasury bonds look like they were breaking down last week, the 30 years anyways. And, of course, they hit about 149 and change, and boom, they took – now, they didn't go crazy, but they did rally quite a bit, and they came dead off the bottoms. And then out came news – I know you don't follow news – but that China was no longer going to be a buyer of U.S. Treasuries. And I go, right, that's got no chance because they're in too deep. They can't they can't not buy anymore. What's your thought of the Treasuries in these markets right now?
Well, with TLT, it's been a really weird-looking pattern. I mean, it has multiple there's targets to the upside, targets to the downside still that have not been hit. So it's just a guessing game as to which one gets hit first. We haven't hit a major support or resistance level yet. But we did break last week, Tuesday. We broke what I thought was a fairly significant support line in TLT, which was right around 124.50. And at the end of last week, it rallied back up to 124.50. So it came back to the underside of support. So I'm thinking that's probably, it's probably going to fail here. I mean, I could be wrong. This is, like I said, it's a complex pattern. But this is a reasonable place to get short. If it breaks a little bit higher, you could cover it. But that's what I've done. I've gone short TLT, and now I'm now looking for 116, 117 as a minimum downside target.
And that makes sense. And as we have another shortened week because of the Martin Luther King Day today, we got about 20 seconds. Any key things that you're looking for?
Well, copper is an interesting story. I mean, the commercials are at all-time record short position in copper. Oil, which we've been talking about a lot lately, in particular, I think is near a top. We've been waiting for mid-60s. We're there. So, and commercials are radically short, and the indicators have reached my target highs. So, and the super overbought. So I think we're going to have a top in oil soon.
Sell Wilson, sell Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. As always, thanks for being on the show today. I appreciate it.
Todd, always great to be here. I appreciate it. Thanks.
This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Don't forget libertytalk.fm and download the show. And that will do it for today, the Martin Luther King holiday. Everybody have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a good day, everybody. Thanks.
Turn the quiet up.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.